American 449-8686. This is the Bill Henry Show.
R.C. Collins, student at Bradley Military Academy, correct, R.C.?
Yes, sir. Bradley is a military academy, 9 through 12 in Altadena, California.
And what grade are you in, son?
Yes, sir. I'm in the junior class, junior cadet, and we're specialist threes, which means we have an exemption and we'll be going into college in about 6 months.
And you are on the air to talk to us about the war, the Iraq war, and how you played a part in it?
No, not necessarily how we played a part in it. I go to a military academy. There's approximately 7,000 of them in the United States. And they are 9 through 12. They serve a purpose, and that is to be reserve should the U.S. military need us. Over the last, I'd say, 2 years, I've been fortunate enough to meet a man by the name of Billy Fortman. He has a metal shop in his home. He's produced some very tremendous replica medals, the Silver Star and the Bronze Star and the Congressional Medal of Honor. And I've been fortunate enough, as have many of my classmates, to purchase them and wear them on our uniforms.
All right. Do you wear these? You wear these on your uniform?
Yes, sir.
Do you wear these as if you won them?
Well, this is the thing I wanted to explain on your show, Mr. Henry. Because you are a civilian, I'm not sure you may not understand. When you're a team and your team wins the World Series and you don't actually play, you still get a World Series ring. Okay? And I hope you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I follow it.
And so it is in war when the military wins, but even if you wasn't there, you still contribute as much, and so you too get to wear some of the same medals. And this does two things. Number one, it shows you are on a team. And number two, Phil, and probably as importantly, it sets us apart from the civilian population, which didn't do anything at all.
Well, you guys are wearing replica Purple Hearts, Silver Stars, and Bronze Stars that your friend makes because you feel that you were a part of this team win of the United States military, even though you didn't do anything.
Well, no, Mr. Ernie, it wasn't that we didn't do anything. I said civilians didn't do anything. We were in reserve. We certainly were on call. We were there for a president. We suffered with our military. We watched the CNN news.
All right, let me ask you about David Newsom. Do you know who he is?
I know the man, yeah.
All right, David Newsom is a retired machinist. He's a Korean War veteran who won a Silver Star in Korea. He told one newspaper he was at his grandson's graduation from Bradley Military Academy, where you go, and saw some of you cadets wearing Bronze Stars, Purple Hearts, and in one instance, one cadet was wearing the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Yes, sir, that's Cadet Byrne.
Cadet Byrne was wearing the Congressional Medal of Honor. Now, he never won the Congressional Medal of Honor. And he said that this Korean War veteran said, Mr. Newsom said he spoke to you?
Well, yeah, let me pick it up from there, Mr. Henry. Mr. Newsom's very elderly. He's some old veteran whose hearing's not that good. And I tried to explain to him the World Series theory, that when you're on the same team and you get the ring, even if you didn't play, and he was hard of hearing. So I'm trying to say to him, we're on the same team, you know, and he obviously didn't understand what I was saying.
Well, he may not have understood what you were saying, but he went to a couple of newspapers and talked to them about you guys wearing replica medals.
Well, I mean, I think it's unfortunate that he chose to air the military's dirty laundry in public. If one soldier has a beef with another, we settle it in a lot of different way. You don't go to the newspaper.
All right, well, hold on for a minute. I don't think you understand. He says that you guys are disgracing those medals by wearing them. You're in a military...
Well, I'd like to comment on that.
But you're in a military academy. You're of high school age. You're wearing replica Bronze Stars and Silver Stars.
Because our team won the World Series.
All right, your team won the World Series and you get a ring. He says you're disgracing them.
Mr. Henry, I think that's powerful language. I mean, we aren't disgracing anything. You have to understand something about Mr. Newsom. He's a Korean War veteran, and back when he got his Silver Star, they were technically not as hard to get. I mean, you could get a Silver Star for, you know, proper manners toward a superior, keeping your kit clean. You could get a Silver Star for being courteous to civilians and popular. Now you have to have certified kills in the theater of operations to get a Silver Star. And
you haven't killed anyone.
But I, as I've said, sir, I'm trying to explain, I was on the same team.
Is there an official relationship between the United States military and military academies?
Well, I think that's not a very intelligent question, sir.
Well, I'm sorry, I want to know the answer.
The uniforms we wear are replicas of those worn at West Point. We drill...
I mean, I don't mean to get down on you, man. I want to know what the official relationship is between a military academy and you guys that you get to wear replica Bronze Stars, Silver Stars, and Congressional Medal of Honors. Hold on for a minute.
I'd like to explain that.
Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. These are cadets from Bradley Military Academy, a 9 through 12 military academy in Altadena, California, who are wearing replicas of the Silver Star, Bronze Star, and Congressional Medal of, and Purple Hearts. Mr. Collins?
Yes, sir.
And Purple Hearts?
Yes, sir. We do have replicas of those, yeah.
And you're wearing them because you say the U.S. military won the war, and so you guys get to wear the medals, too.
I mean, I couldn't be... It's really funny how a very simple explanation like the World Series ring seems to fly over people's heads, but that's exactly what we're talking about.
Well, I'm sorry if it's flying over my head, but I just wanted to, because you've got a Korean War veteran who's finding fault with this.
Again, he's a Korean War veteran. When you could win a Silver Star, wasn't that tough?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. There are some people who want to make it a federal crime to be caught wearing medals that you didn't actually win.
And I agree with that.
You do?
Yes, I do. I think anyone wearing the combat medals of the U.S. military, and they've not earned them, should be arrested and jailed, so I'm in favor of that.
So you guys don't think that's what you're doing? Because Mr. Newsom has pressed this case with the VFW.
No, sir, absolutely not. I think you need to flush out your headgear. I said we believe...
I'm going to flush my headgear out, man. I'm asking, do you think...
Sir, I think we've earned them. Way back in Korea times, they were giving them away with soap samples. And I suspect what Mr. Newsom's problem is, I think his time may have passed him by. We are a young men in a military academy. We're attractive to young women. And women like being around men who've perhaps tasted, been close to tasting of the death. And I think...
Well, okay, so you're saying what?
I think the medals are something that tell those women that we are men who shared a small part of that war. They're aggressive young women, and sometimes they're aggressive to a fault. And Mr. Newsom's granddaughter, and I think you're referring to the party that we had at Tommy Bolton's parents' house?
Yes, we are. That's the one that I'm talking about.
Okay, she was aggressive, and we frankly asked her to leave.
Well, when you say that you asked this man's grand... Now, this guy's a decorated Korean War veteran. You guys are wearing these medals that... Who is it again?
Billy Fortman.
Billy Fortman made in his garage. This guy's granddaughter is at a party that you cadets had.
Yes, sir.
And you say you asked her to leave. She was found by San Marino police wandering a neighborhood wearing only her underwear and one of your military hats. And they had drug tested her for ecstasy. You know that, don't you?
Mr. Henry, sir, if you're accusing any of us of giving that girl ecstasy, that's an outrage and an insult to us. And I believe you're walking on thin ice.
I'm not saying that you did. You're aware that she was drug tested with ecstasy.
I am aware of that, sir. She didn't get it from any of our friends.
All right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. So I don't know if you guys have read the newspaper, but the story is, and we're talking to the main principal here, he's a cadet at a military academy. They're wearing replica Silver Stars and Congressional Medals of Honor because they feel since the U.S. military won the war in Iraq and they're in a military academy, they're part of the team, so they get to wear the same medals. Now, a Korean War veteran who wears a Silver Star, a Mr. David Newsom, has challenged them on that and has taken his case to the district attorney. In the process, his granddaughter was at a party thrown by these cadets and was later found wandering an adjacent neighborhood in only her underwear and one of their military caps. And she had been either given or had taken voluntarily ecstasy. So we got ourselves some interesting situations here. 1-800-449-8686. Let's take a phone call here before we go to a break. Eugene, go ahead.
Yes, sir. My father was in the Korean War, and he received medals over there, just like a lot of other men. There were a lot of men and women that didn't come home from that war, and they earned the medals.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't earn them from a Cracker Jack box or some guy in a garage making them.
Well,
and that
I mean,
young man is definitely out of line, speaking out of turn. He's at a military academy that has no affiliation with the United States military, in any way, shape, or form. And I speak from 20 years of Coast Guard experience.
Well, you're knocking me and you're in the Coast Guard?
Yes, sir, I am, because you know what? You guys are not even ready to go into the service, okay? You're not even of age to go into the service. So you should respect the people that came before you if you ever want to wear the real uniform that represents what the U.S. military stands for.
Look, this is all, we're talking apples and oranges.
No, sir, I disagree, sir, okay?
I'm simply saying that we need to have something to make us look different from civilians. Otherwise, they
you
think
have
they're
your
just
uniform,
as good as us.
Sir. You have your uniform. Have it pressed with a military crease, and that makes you look different when you walk in Walmart, okay? Act responsibly and respectfully when you're wearing your uniform, and people will respect you.
Well, sir, you seem to be well-versed, and I applaud you, but you're not thinking like a team player. And the U.S. military is a team.
You know, I do not wear any commendations on my uniform unless they're presented to me by my CO. And if they're presented to me in an official format, I'll place them on my uniform. But otherwise, they're not to be worn. They're not to be shown. Okay? That's very disrespectful to the
thing,
people that earned it.
Eugene is a member of the Coast Guard, which is a branch of the U.S. Armed Services. You're in a military academy. I want to ask you, Eugene, do you have any comment on this Korean War veteran's granddaughter?
You know, Mr. Henry, this is
I'm not familiar with that issue.
The man's granddaughter was partying with these cadets and was found in her underwear wandering a street.
See, now that's a reflection of the people that from the military academy that were with her. It's not a reflection of that young lady, because whatever happened to cause her to be wandering around the streets dressed that way was very inappropriate on their part.
Well, and if, I'm Cadet R.C. Collins. I play first base for the U.S. of A. So Semper Fi.
Semper Paratus, son. And you need to learn respect for everybody that came before you and that ever served in the United States military and wore a uniform, whether it was a private that never got a medal or whether it was a four-star general, sir. When
well,
you address somebody in the United States military, you respect them no matter what their rank is.
They look just like the real medals.
All right, listen, Eugene, thanks very much for your call. 1-800-449-8686. He said Semper Pari to you, not Semper Fi.
Well, I don't know what that means.
Well, I do.
What's it mean?
I'm not going to tell you. 1-800-449-8686. This young man is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy. They've got a friend of theirs making replica Bronze Stars, Silver Stars, Purple Hearts, and in one case, a Congressional Medal of Honor that they're walking around wearing because they feel entitled to wear those since they're part of the, quote, military team of the United States. In addition to that, a Korean War veteran who wears a Bronze Star is threatening to sue them, and his granddaughter was found partying with them, wandering the streets with her underwear and a military cap on, apparently having taken ecstasy. Oh, man! What the hell? 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with this bizarre, bizarre story on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Won't float without pontoons. The Phil Henry Show is back.
You're wearing the Congressional Medal of Honor. I'm talking to R.C. Collins as a military academy cadet. Wearing the Congressional Medal of Honor, especially, R.C., even if it's a replica, is such a disrespectful thing.
I don't understand how you can say that. I mean, the Congressional Medal of Honor is the highest honor you can get.
Exactly. Most of the guys that won that award are not even alive. That's how heavy duty that award is. You have to almost die to get that. Do you understand? And the men that got that award who are still alive are only alive by the grace of God. And you're wearing that around your neck?
Mr. Henry, I would think that it's a great commentary on the Congressional Medal of Honor that they'll start giving it out to people that are alive. And I think that's part of what we're saying. We're saying anybody can be a hero. not just guys what died. And I think you make it sound like it's great that they died. I think it's better that we're alive and we didn't die.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jody, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, my name is Sergeant Whitehouse.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, ma'am.
Okay, I've been in the Air Force for 8.5 years, and I'm actually an Air Force recruiter, and
Super
I'm just wondering what makes you think that you have earned the right to wear those medals. I know you say you're on the same team.
Yes, ma'am.
But you're talking about a game. This is the military, and in no way whatsoever are you associated with the military.
Well, I beg to differ. I mean, we wear uniforms that are replicas of the U.S. Military Academy at West Point.
Have you gone through the process of entering the military? Have you gone through basic training? Have you done everything that people like me wear medals for?
We took the test to get into Bradley. We also took...
I take a test to get into college, too, but I'm not... It doesn't mean that you're in the military.
Look, I do a lot more for this country than some fellow that delivers lumber.
And you know what? I think that's wonderful that you do. I think it's wonderful that you support your military, but you're disgracing it by wearing these medals.
How do you figure that? I mean...
That's exactly what we're trying to say here. It's a disgrace.
Wait a second. Mr. Henry just said it. Most of the guys would wear the Congressional Medal of Honor is dead.
Exactly.
Don't
that's
you
how
think
they earned these medals. What gives you the right to do that?
Don't you think it's time they give it to guys that are alive?
Absolutely not. You have not earned that right.
What does that mean, should give it to guys that are alive?
It's stupid to give it to guys that are dead.
It doesn't matter whether they're alive or dead.
Well, what are you talking about?
Well, what are you guys talking about? All we're trying to do is say, give us a little support.
Well, then you should make your own medals for your own school, not the medals that the people that have risked their lives for
How
wear.
How are people going to see the difference between me and a civilian if I don't wear the medal?
You are a junior in high school.
Okay, and?
I am an 8.5-year veteran of the United States Air Force, and I don't wear those medals.
Ma'am, with all due respect, I think I could make you tilt like a pinball machine.
Okay, kid.
You could what?
Nothing. It was a rude, crude, stupid kid comment.
Look, the dead guys don't even get to enjoy the medals. Why can't a man who's alive show him off?
You know what? I would feel so sorry if I were your parents right now. I would feel so bad.
Ma'am,
thank
my
you for
father,
your time.
Really?
I appreciate it. Goodbye.
Ma'am, father is sending for me this summer to help him on the assembly line at two of his new plants. So I don't think father's ashamed of me at all.
Your father's well off, huh?
absolutely. When you say well off, that's the understatement of the year.
Kid?
And sir, my name is Cadet Collins, or R.C., it's not Kid.
All right. R.C., Cadet Collins, wearing a replica a Congressional Medal of Honor might even be a violation of the law. My understanding is that the FBI has looked into cases.
It's a violation of the law if you're a civilian, not if you wear a replica uniform or precise duplicate uniform of the West Point Military Academy.
What? That's not what it says.
I believe so.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Cadet Collins from Bradley Military Academy. He and his friends make duplicates of the Congressional Medal of Honor, the Bronze Star, the Silver Star, and the Purple Heart in order for them to show them off and be a part of the, quote, military team that won the war in Iraq. It sounds a little disrespectful to me. Plus, a Korean War veteran is finding fault with it as well. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
R.C. Collins, cadet at a Bradley Military Academy in Altadena on the line with us. You're wearing Congressional Medals of Honor. You're wearing Bronze Stars, Silver Stars. What gives you the right to wear these medals? I know you said you're part of a team. What gives you the right to wear these medals that men have died to wear?
Well, Mr. Hendry, that was very dramatic.
Look, just if you could answer my question.
I'm going to answer my question, but I reserve the right to comment on your dramatic talk of what you said. First of all, Mr. Hendry, how come kids get to wear Kobe Bryant T-shirts? They, not him. They're not in the NBA. How come people get to wear Shaquille O'Neal T-shirts? They're not in the NBA. You see, people don't want to look at that, do they? They want to attack me and my friends for honoring our team membership in the U.S. victory over Iraq. How come people put on shirts that say Michael Jordan and everything like that? See, people are afraid to go there. No, no, they'll single us out and make us feel bad.
All right, 1-800, I could answer that a million different ways, but I'll let my listeners. 1-800.
Well, I wish you would.
No, I'll let my listeners. 1-800-449-8686. Gay, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Gay.
Cadet Collins, I have a question for you.
Is that really your name, Gay?
Yes, it is.
Okay, kid, grow up a little bit, will you?
You know, it doesn't bother me. That's fine. Actually, this is Tech Sergeant Veal, and I've been in the United States Air Force for 14 and a half years.
But well, when people say that's really gay, you don't even know if they're talking about you.
Okay, kid.
And that's okay if they are, but let's get back to the point here. You know, one of the activities that I have had the pleasure of participating in my career is being a part of the varsity softball team at almost every base that I've gone to. And we've won a few championships, and, you know, I'm a decent bit ball player, but not the best softball player. And so I've spent my time sitting on the bench.
Ma'am, can I interrupt you? Can you get to the point a little bit here?
No,
hold on for a minute. She's a sergeant. You're a cadet. You listen to her.
I won some trophies that I sat primarily on the bench for, and it felt really good. So I totally understand your concept of, you know, the whole World Series concept and, hey, you know, we're all part of the same team here. Why can't I wear the same medals that these veterans are wearing? Well, the major flaw with that, Cadet Collins, is that you're talking about a game. Baseball is a game. War is not.
How come they have war games?
If you want to wear these medals, then you need to be willing to step in front of a bullet. You need to be willing to step underneath a bomb. And last time I checked, as a junior in high school, you're not eligible to do that.
Ma'am, I honor the military, and I'm trying to be in reserve for when it happens. But Kobe Bryant is never going to get called up for anything more dangerous than having to play against the New Jersey Nets. Okay? And another thing, did you get benched because
of
your name?
Misguided.
What?
I said you are so misguided. And
how do
you
figure that?
What really makes it sad is that, you know, you're probably going to make it through the cracks. You and your friends are going to make it through the cracks. And you're going to be commanding people like me someday, and you will get absolutely no respect.
Tell you what, I hope I do make it into some cracks. Because
you know what, kid? You sound like the rich little punk slob that you are. You do. You sound like father's sending for me. You know, and this is a sergeant. Do you want to be an officer?
Of course.
Yeah, so that what the sergeant just said was is she's going to have to carry out your orders and not respect you at all.
Let me tell you what. I don't care if my people respect me as long as they do the job.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? He's got no clue. You have no clue. I feel so sorry for you.
Hey, you're the one with the name Gay Veal.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
Yeah, that's a huge problem. Listen, Gay, thanks very much. Good luck to you.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's a sergeant in the Army. Do you understand that if you're going to rely on sergeants to communicate with the enlisted men?
What?
1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Charlton, is it?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
All right. My name's Charlton Rhodes. I'm in the United States Navy, been in for 7 years, very proud of what I do, and I can't believe I'm listening to this kid talking about this right now. Listen, cadet.
Well.
Listen to me.
Well, what about?
Listen to me. My grandfather was killed August 26, 1944. My mom got to grow up without a dad. The best he did was a Bronze Star for dying in France, okay? Now, just listen to me for a minute. You don't understand the hardships that families and people endure, the crying, the pain, the hardship that goes with being in the military. And until you do, you don't have any right to wear any medals. You're a cadet.
But that's the best part. We're wearing medals and nobody had to cry about it.
What, kid, are you joking or something? Because
no, sir, I couldn't be more serious.
Well, you're coming off with nothing but punchlines here. What do you mean that's the best part? The fact, did you hear what the man said? His father died and the best he got was a Bronze Star. Okay?
Well, but...
You have no clue what families have to go through for 6-10 month deployments. The pain of losing a good friend, a shipmate. You do not understand. You will not understand. And if you think that you're going to display any kind of good leadership skills by not having the respect of those under you, you will fail miserably.
Hey, I just want people to do their job.
Oh, shut up. Quit with the drill instructor stuff. I'm going to tell you something here, R.C.
You can't tell me to shut up.
Well, I just did. The United States, there's an actual Congressional Medal of Honor winner named Mitchell Page who has committed his life to ferreting out imposters. Now the FBI arrests people who are wearing the Medal of Honor. Do you know that there are people who run around wearing that Medal of Honor besides you who are claiming to be Medal of Honor winners?
Well, I don't claim to be a Medal of Honor winner.
No, but you're getting girls to go to parties with you because you're wearing one, including that veteran's granddaughter who was walking around in her underwear and a military cap.
She thought it looked funny.
All right, listen, Charlton.
I got to say one thing. I fear for your safety, Cadet, because there's a lot of people out there that aren't going to be able to restrain themselves because they feel very strongly about the respect that's given to people who are given that respect.
I don't have a mom. I haven't seen her in 3 years.
You haven't listened to anything. Thank you very much, Charlton, for your call. You haven't listened to anything anybody said. What do you mean you haven't seen her in 3 years?
She's been on a bender.
And father sent for you, huh?
Yep. And that's why you people are coming down on me more than anything else. You're jealous. Jealous that father sent for me, and jealous that I wore a Congressional Medal of Honor at a party where a girl took her pants off.
You're a freak. You're a freaking... Yeah, that's what I'm jealous of. Mike, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, this kid is nothing but a spoiled brat, and the reason why he's in military school is even now just confirmed it. He hasn't seen his mother in 3 years because they probably threw him out of the house, and they put him in the military schools where possibly he could get some discipline and someone could watch over for him. And believe me, I would bet my year's pay that this kid, once he gets out of college, he'll never see a uniform. The only uniform he'll see is the jailer in the other end that he looking through the bars of the cell.
What are you, Miss Cleo?
Why don't you have some respect?
Well, a guy helped in my life.
He has no right. He just said his father's a millionaire. And daddy probably bails him out every minute of the day. And we know what type of kid you are. You're nothing but a spoiled rotten brat. You probably got your Corvette or something Jaguar parked in the school parking lot, and you think the girls are going to fall for you that you're wearing the medals. You're not even. You wouldn't know how to shoot a BB gun.
Father has sent for me to be one of the foremen on his line.
The foreman on his line. You're right. Yeah, you're the foreman, all right. If you had any guts, you'd join the Boy Scouts and see what it's all about.
Wait a second, the Boy Scouts, that's a lower rank than me.
Lower rank? I think not. Judging listened to you for the last 20 minutes there, believe me, I wish I could get you. I wouldn't even get you in a dark alley. I'd get you right in the sidewalk of Times Square. I'll show you what it is.
What a pervert.
I don't think he's talking about that. And by the way, that whole, I like that line, Boy Scouts, they'll show you what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, my father said he'd buy me a Porsche.
Okay, you got a Porsche, probably.
Hey, we're losing you, Mike. Thanks for the call.
How come you hung up on him?
I was losing his call, his phone.
I had a couple of good lines for him.
Oh, he was killing you. He was destroying you.
No, he wasn't. I was whips on him.
No, you didn't. That whole line about you got to join the Boy Scouts and find out what it's all about.
What about him saying he wants to get me in the butt?
He didn't say that. He said Times Square. See, you even got to make stuff up, don't you? Good luck, kid. Just remember, it's a federal offense to wear those medals if you don't have permission. And there's a whole lot of guys running around, not just you, running around claiming they're Medal of Honor winners, and they're not.
I didn't claim that I'm a Medal of Honor winner. Why do I need to do that? Father...
Yeah, I know. Father's sent for you. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686. Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
He's exactly right. He shouldn't be put in jail. He ought to be beat with that 75-foot garden hose. Honest to God. This guy...
I should be beat.
Yeah, you should be beat. I'm not a parent. No, I'm not a parent. I'm an adopted kid, and say I didn't fit in, or adopted kids never fit in, that's just... I didn't say it didn't fit in.
I said that you don't love an adopted kid as much as you do a normal one.
No, that is
what are you talking about? What do you mean a normal one?
No, that is
a
normal.
Regular one.
No.
How do you know?
Those people that gave you those kids ought to be the ones thrown in jail too. And you, I mean, that lady was exactly right. God shouldn't have gave you kids, and she didn't give you kids for that reason.
Wait a minute. I have two kids that we loved, all right? As far as you can love an adopted kid. All right? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay. But you would have your kid wander off with Donald Duck or something, right?
No, I wouldn't. I would take the responsibility. Maybe your folks locked you in the car. Maybe they let you wander off with whoever they wanted to. No, that's not how it works. Parents ought to be responsible. You should have been responsible.
Sir, I am trying to protect children from the next wave of perversion that is going to be visited on the American children from circus clowns and ice cream shoppers.
Yeah, okay, we already
That's
heard
wonderful.
That.
That's wonderful. I've heard that
That's
like
great.
50 times
Exactly,
already.
Exactly. Get to the point.
The point is, I would rather those children die in a car around their toys and things they know than in the back of a filthy trailer that's owned by some guy that does children's parties.
I'll tell you what, those
two kids...
Those kids would probably be the ones doing those child's parties because of parents like you.
Did you ever wander off with a large mouse or anybody, Andy May, anyone like that?
No, I didn't.
All right.
What do you mean wander off with a large mouse?
I mean, did this guy put his trust in a man in a mouse suit?
No, you don't do that when you're a kid.
You don't?
You know, what is the big deal about taking a 6-year-old and a 7-year-old into a freaking store with you?
Number one, they pull crap off of the shelves, it breaks, you got to pay for it.
Right. Would you rather pay a few dollars, say $1,000 a day, to see your kids alive or not?
Sir, yes, I would, to answer your question. But, well, how much are we talking about?
Who cares?
How much? Who cares?
If they broke $1,000 a day. Okay, if they broke $1,000 a day.
Okay, that's on the bubble.
What do you mean? You're talking about the lives.
This guy's talking about $1,000 a day.
Who cares if they break it or not? You would still have your kids. They would be alive.
The first thing about kids is they go into stores, they pull things, they break things. Then they're running around looking up everybody's dress. And pointing and laughing because if somebody's got one leg. I took my kids into a store. There was a woman with one leg. They looked up the dress and they laughed and they pointed.
You know, you are a second. Because if you were a parent, you would have the responsibility and you would discipline them if they did do that.
Absolutely.
And I did. But they do it and they run around. I guess, I don't know. But they're pulling stuff off the shelves. They've got stuff in the cart. It's better, if you're just going in for a quick trip, to leave them in the car. And a child
quick trip with for garden
yeah,
hose
garden
fans.
Yeah, garden hose, ceiling fans. Yeah, you were getting you were in there for how long?
45 minutes.
Yeah, that's a real quick trip.
Yeah.
Look, a child isn't going to wander off with a big mouse or a priest if you got him locked in a car. Would you agree with that?
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, there you go. See?
No, they'll just die locked in the car, sir. They'll just die.
Well, my kids pulled off the shelf about $400 worth of an air compressor. It almost landed on a lady's toe, and that could have been a lawsuit. So you want me to go with that, too, huh?
Yep. That's exactly what. That's part of being a parent.
You know what? You guys
when you
are
signed
hardcore.
Up for those
yeah,
kids,
that's
you
right.
did.
That's right. We're hardcore, sir. And if you, if the air compressor, if it's $1,000 worth of stuff, if it's ceiling fans, if they're looking up somebody's dress and they only got one leg, that's part of the world of children.
Well, these were Romanians. I don't know if they're like regular kids.
They're like regular kids.
Evidently, you weren't like a regular kid. How much crap did you break when you were a kid?
I didn't break any crap, but I wandered off with a guy in a mouse suit. And it...
All right, thanks a lot.
That's where you're messed up, huh?
What a whack job.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
In my country, we say to a woman when she is lovely, la 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 la. You understand, correct?
You know, you're, that's the first time I've ever heard that, and I know people who have been to Argentina.
Yes, ma'am.
That is not a custom.
This
you're
is
just a,
a
pervert, and you're sick,
how
and you can't get it anywhere. So you come on to whoever walked in the door.
I will tell you that I have been with some of the world's most beautiful women, and this young lady who came into my home, I have. And you listen to me. When I say to you, la 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 la, that means you are sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't do anything for you.
Well, I don't think you're very sexy.
You have never seen me. You have never met me.
I don't have to.
I live in La Jolla, California. I have a $15 million home.
Yes, okay, whatever.
What does it mean when a woman says this?
You probably couldn't get laid in a morgue,
and Tara,
okay?
Let me ask you something. What does it mean when a woman says to me that the tip of the cable is very fragile and she treats it with care? What does that mean?
That means she knows her work, she knows her business.
Oh,
she was
come
simply
on.
Working and earning her money,
that
and
doesn't...
you disrespected her.
It doesn't mean that, you know...
Let me, Terry, can you hang on the line for a minute?
Sure.
I want to bring on Oscar. Oscar, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oscar, you and Terry are on with Rudy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say that we Latin Americans do not behave that way.
You have never said...
Do not generalize and make us look like lowlife.
Lowlife?
I know people from your country and a lot of countries, and I travel a lot to Latin America, and we do not behave that way.
You have
we
never said to
it. Culture and respect.
You have never said to a woman
that
you
are a lowlife that thinks that money, if you do have the money that you say you do have,
I have a
$15 million buy and do anything you want. You're wrong, buddy. You're wrong. And you're living in the United States right now. Like
I live
I
in
do.
America.
If you don't like the ways that you're supposed to behave here, go back to Argentina.
Terry.
You're one of the
when
ones that took
to
the
you,
money from Argentina.
That doesn't do anything. But when you say to the woman,
you're wrong. You're wrong.
Terry says it's not turning her on, okay?
La, la, la.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Former NASCAR driver and now a man who helps promote the sport, NASCAR, the National Association of Stock Car Auto Racing, traditional American oval track racing, Paul Tubby Lane joins us. Paul, there is a very interesting article today in a couple of newspapers having to do with the gay demographic, the gay fan base of NASCAR, and that it is a ever-burgeoning fan base. How do you see that fan base integrating itself? Is it? It's obviously important. How important?
Well, Phil, I think that gay fans on average have more money than the average fan. And when you think about corporate sponsorships, you think about high-end merchandise, and you think about high-end marketing. You do want to target fans that do have disposable income like that. We have spent an awful lot of years, I know, marketing to African-American fans, to female fans, to our traditional straight fans, and it hasn't really had the impact that we wanted it to have.
The article is NASCAR is like number two to the NFL in terms of fans, correct?
That is correct. But that's mostly a lot of traditional fans. in terms of coming through the turnstile, but they're not really buying a lot of purchasing a lot of merchandise. They don't really come up with the big money in terms of the sponsorship. So it was a very difficult decision, but I recommend it to the people I work for who work on a consultancy basis. That as difficult a decision as it may be, the black fan, now the African-American fan, the female fan, the traditional straight Southern fan is not bringing the money through the door for NASCAR the way a lot of these gay fans can, because they will pay top money for a sponsor tent to meet the drivers. It's a huge demographic that NASCAR needs to develop and nurture. Our female fans, our black fans are great fans. They just don't have the economic impact that our gay fans have.
Now, is NASCAR thinking about a section of their website devoted to gay fans?
Well, I think that they need to do that. I know I'd heard that they were going to think about a section of the website for the gay fan, because we had devoted a portion of the website. It's called the women's side to NASCAR, and that was, like I say, our women fans are great. That's a big waste of time, because women just don't have the money for marketing, is what we're saying.
Well, you're talking about selling merchandise, right?
That is exactly correct, right. And when you talk about your traditional African-American fans or the female fans, they don't spend, you know, diddly squat compared to what your gay will. And the gay, they spend money for leather goods with the leather hats, the jackets, and these kinds of things, where the women and the black will only buy, you know, like denim shorts and things like that. NASCAR's got to grow. We need to cater to the fans who can really support this great sport. And the gay fan can do that for us.
All right. Now, the other thing that I think, by the way, we're talking with Paul Tubby Lane about how NASCAR needs to expand its marketing toward the gay fan. A lot of gay fans of NASCAR racing. There's even a website called gaytona.com.
That is correct. It's it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek site devoted to a number of drivers on a NASCAR circuit.
Now, what is the thoughts of NASCAR concerning the Confederate flag? You were saying that that's kind of a negative.
It's difficult for us to say to a large base of traditional fans that you're starting to embarrass us a little bit, but I really think that the Confederate flag waving fan of NASCAR has really gotten a little bit out of hand. We love those fans very dearly, but it's there's an old saying, Phil, a moped or a fat girl, if you want, or whatever. I mean, they're fun to ride, but you don't want to be seen with one. It's the same thing with the.
Okay. I mean, we still have.
I'm sorry about the comparison. What I'm trying to say is,
well, we still have kids listening.
I do. I'm sorry. What I'm trying to say is this: while we love our Confederate flag waving fans, we don't really want. We can't associate with ourselves with them anymore, because it's a little bit of embarrassment. It's a little bit of a kind of a Southern nose pick image that we're trying to lose. And the gay fan and the lesbian fan will give us a sophisticated look and view that we need. And what I have proposed, and I know Ben Steele proposed it too, is that the Confederate flags be taken down. You could, in their place, have the rainbow flag, which represents the gay. Rainbow flag is a replacement, I think, for the Confederate flag, which was fine for a while, but we're trying to bring some real money into the sport, and yet you can't do that with that kind of an image.
So the Confederate flag waving NASCAR fan holds the marketing money down, it holds down?
Yeah, well, it keeps the sophisticated fan who's got some spending money in terms of merchandising away from the sport. The gay has that kind of disposable income, and they love NASCAR. So to get gay fans out to the track, we have to make it as comfortable for them as possible. We want to make sure that their every need is seen to. We want to make sure the concessions, everything, all the merchandising is geared toward them. We want to make sure that the kinds of foods they like or what have you, and it's not much different for most people, but flying that Confederate flag and walking around and, looking disgusting. A lot of our fans are great people, but they are, I tell you, I wouldn't want them, sitting down at my kitchen table. I would, the personal hygiene of these people. But it's not that we don't appreciate the average NASCAR fan. You know, the good old boys and the gals and the blacks and all these. It's just they don't financially support the sport anymore, and they're holding us back.
That's kind of a heavy thing to say. We're talking to Paul Tubby Lane who is talking about merchandising NASCAR. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. To market NASCAR successfully, you've got to go after fans with money, and the new fan base is the gay demographic, the traditional fan base. You call it black, female, and straight men. How many African-Americans?
Well, there's not a lot of African-Americans, but when we went after them and tried to market toward the African-American, we found they didn't have. And, of course, they're wonderful fans, and we do appreciate every bit of the fans we have. But the African-American fan is not, you know, he's not exactly rolling in the money or anything like that. And same thing with the females. And the other thing that we wasted an awful lot of time on was marketing toward children. What we did, Phil, is we came out with toy replicas of the race cars that kids could have. We had child-sized team gear and hats, and that was a huge, you know, disappointment. I mean, we couldn't, I couldn't give that stuff away, you know, because how many little tiny kids come out to the track? But even if they do, their parents that bring them out there are a lot of these, you know, the ones I'm talking about, these kind of...
What are you talking, rednecks?
Well, they're ones that... You know, they're not going to spend a lot of money on that merchandise and say, well, get a little toy replica car for your kid. And these hillbillies, are, you know, and they're great fans. But a lot of them are hill trash and this kind of thing.
Well, you know, in attracting the new gay demographic to the NASCAR fan base, you don't want to blow off your traditional fan when you call them hill trash.
No, but that's just a term that's used. People know that it doesn't mean anything bad. What I'm saying is the traditional NASCAR racing fan, who is the hill, you know, it's kind of the bar trash or the hillbilly or what have you, is not paying the bills. So we got to get the gay in and the lesbian, and we need it. And it's also gaining a large television audience, NASCAR is. And when the camera scans over the crowd, you do want to have a fan base that looks sophisticated, that looks a little bit urban, that looks like it's well-dressed, that looks like it is an urbane crowd and is intelligent and well-spoken. And over the years, we have continuously been embarrassed every time the camera scans the crowd. We've got, you know, a lot of the hill people are out there.
Well, when you say the hill people, are you talking about the red?
Well, yeah, a lot of the country redneck and this kind of thing.
Paul Tubby Lane is with us. The article today that I read was very interesting, that the gay demographic is increasing. There's a lot of gay NASCAR fans, and you are actively seeking them and trying to get them into the sport because they spend money on merchandise.
That is correct, sir. And they also, Phil, spend money on website memberships. They spend money on sponsorship tents. They spend money on marketing.
And the sponsorship tents are interesting. You go to a race, you sponsor a tent, and it's a...
Well, it's like a hospitality tent. And you can have a buffet of food. You have cocktails and soft drinks and this kind of thing. You can watch the race from a very good vantage point. And a lot of your hill, you know, a lot of these people waving a Confederate flag, they're sitting out there in the back of a truck, and it makes us look stupid. We got empty tents, and nobody wants to eat nothing, and there's no one there. If you get the gay, now you're talking about a fan base that'll come and get sponsorship and everything like that. So we love our traditional fans, the women, the straight men, the blacks, and the kids, but they didn't pan out. They're just not bringing any money into the sport. We need to get the money.
Well, if the gay fan was not a fan that spends a lot of money, would you be courting him?
Well, Phil, we court anybody who is good for the sport. So, I'm not courting no blacks anymore. I mean, I do like the blacks, but we're not going to court them because they're done. You know, they're throwing pennies in the bucket. Well, you get some of these gays, they'll toss $5, $10 bills in the bucket.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. NASCAR's changing. A lot of new fans coming in. Gay men, lesbians, a huge demographic among gay men and lesbians, and NASCAR wants to see them made comfortable at the races as well. They spend an awful lot of money on merchandise, maybe more than the traditional fan. Do you feel as if NASCAR is blowing off its original fan base to cater to the gay fan? 1-800-449-8686. Robert, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Mr. Smith, you are just, I can't even believe you're real. I mean, you are totally blowing off the original NASCAR fan that brought NASCAR to where it's at.
Well, that's true, but we've got to take it to the next level, and those fans are good, and I want them to keep coming out to the race. But they're a little embarrassing, you know, waving that flag and all that stupid stuff. I mean, we've got to make this sport now look like something that everyone could have in their living room, no matter where they live.
Well, I guess what you would consider a typical redneck. I live in South Alabama. I, you know, go to Talladega and Daytona and Atlanta. I spent a little over $9,000 last year that went to NASCAR races, but I'm going to find out who you are and if you are truly affiliated with NASCAR.
Well, I'll tell you this, before you say that, $9,000 is a lot, but compared to the average gay fan, you'd wipe your rear end with that, and I respect you, okay? But I'm seriously, now every track has a grandstand. Would you rather see the rainbow flag above the grandstand to encourage the gay, or this Confederate flag, which is offensive to every decent human being? I'd rather see the rainbow flag of the gay. And
but why raise either flag? Why even divide the crowd that way? Why not just have
because again, Phil, for years we've made the Hill, you know what I call
why don't you just call them the straight fans?
Well, they're straight, but they're more than just the straight. They're the hillbillies, and we've made them feel welcome with their Confederate flag. And what do we get in return? We got slapped across the face with their hill trash ways. We got muddy infields and vomit, and some of these guys will urinate on the sides of cars and everything. Now, if we get the gay people in, for once we don't have people urinating in the grandstands, and that's something that we need and something the sport desperately needs.
1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Paul Lane. NASCAR looking to expand the sport's fan base to include gays, and there are a lot of gay people that are into the sport, and exclude the traditional Confederate flag-waving fan because he says they've become an embarrassment. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Paul Lane with us. Paul is talking about the traditional NASCAR fan is just not bringing the money into the sport the way the new fans, which includes gay men and lesbians. What's the major appeal of NASCAR to the gay demographic?
I think it's the same thing, Phil, as for anyone. It's the storyline, the weekly drama of the race, the story behind the race. Plus, unlike many other NASCAR fans, most notably women and blacks, gays understand the economics of the sport better than the average NASCAR fan. They know what an engine, you know, if you tell a gay fan that an engine, when an engine blows at hundreds of thousands of dollars, they understand what you're talking about. They know when a car is totaled, that's millions of dollars. They know when a pit crew isn't on top of the team, the driver and the team stand to lose millions of dollars. You try to talk to the average, you know, again, I will always say that I respect and love our average fans, but you get some of this, you know, trailer trash and everything. They don't understand what it means. We've tried to educate the average fans to that, and even thought they get that it's a lot of money. The average NASCAR fan can't really imagine that kind of money. So they nod and they say, yeah, it's expensive, but they don't know what they're talking about.
So I imagine the drivers and teams would appreciate more gay fans knowing the economics.
Well, you do get frustrated.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Arlene. Hi, Arlene. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Paul Lane.
Yes, I have one comment to make. The South is what has put NASCAR where it is now. Gays and lesbians have not been out of the closet as long as the South has put the NASCAR where it's at. And I don't appreciate what you're saying.
Well, ma'am, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm sorry if I did. I certainly am just trying to speak the economics of the reality of the sport, and that is that the gay can certainly bring a lot of money into NASCAR, support the team, support the drivers, support the prize money.
And we don't.
Well,
I mean, what you're doing right now, you're just cutting your throat for sure.
Well, ma'am, I don't mean to put anybody down, but it's like, you know, am I supposed to get excited when, you know, you people roll in your pickup truck with your Confederate flag and, you know, and then somebody's got to clean up the human feces and
behind the building, I guess,
well,
instead of having them piss on the building.
Well, ma'am, with you people, we already have that. The gays are just a little bit more discreet.
All right, okay, Jesus. 1-800-449-8686.
She doesn't like gays, and that's all right. I understand that a lot of NASCAR fans are socially not
the most intelligent people, but they do it. And that's what we're hoping will happen. If we get more gay fans that the regular hill trash are...
Well, maybe if you didn't call them hill trash, that they wouldn't be angry.
I understand, Mr. Randy. It's a reflex. When we sit around in marketing meetings, we try to identify in shorthand the different fan base. Gay, you got the need, you know, well, some guys use the other word, and I'm ashamed of that.
What are you talking about? You're sitting in a marketing meeting and you're using the N-word to describe your black fans?
Some of the guys. I didn't say we do. I said some of the guys do. And then there's...
Do you work for NASCAR?
No, sir, I do not.
Well, who do you work for?
I work for a consultant firm, and we try to pitch ideas to NASCAR and what they can do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Anna, hello, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, my
yes,
name
ma'am.
Is Ima.
Ima, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I'm a black female over-the-road truck driver. I support NASCAR. I have 22 grandchildren. They have NASCAR jackets. They have NASCAR model cars. They have keychains and et cetera.
Well, I appreciate
and
that,
this
ma'am.
Guy is just cutting his throat. NASCAR needs to fire this firm because he's on their low ratings, the other races. He sounds like he's a gay person himself.
Ma'am, I'm not downrating no black folks. I think they're great fans. They just don't spend the kind of money. We need to get some money in the till. You know, the whole thing is going to pay TV. We're going to have to start charging pay-per-view on these races. Now, I know
and
you
don't... You're sitting there saying that females don't understand the price of motors and the pit team
we found
and
that...
et cetera.
Yes, ma'am. We have...
That's not true.
We have found that many female fans, you can say to them, he just blew an engine, and they'll go,
and he's
right,
talking
huh?
about he's talking about $1 million.
That's right, ma'am. But most women will look
and
at you.
He's talking about $500,000 for his race car team there in the pit to do their work to get it there.
See, the gay fan understands all that, but the many of the African fans I've talked to, they don't get it, and a lot of the females neither.
Well, what don't they get? You know, a guy blows an engine, it's millions of dollars to the team. They don't get that?
Yeah, but they never seen $1 million. They wouldn't know what it looks like if it came up and kissed them. But the gay has. See, that's the whole...
And you're talking about we come to the races in pickup trucks? Man, I don't drive a pickup truck. I drive a Cadillac, and when I come, I drive a Cadillac.
That's the other thing, ma'am. We can't have more black fans coming in these low-riding Cadillacs. It's just driving everybody...
Well, wait a second.
Well, you know what I'm saying. We need to get that rainbow flag going because of the Do you fly a Confederate flag, ma'am? I don't think you do you?
Hell no, I don't fly one.
All right, ma'am. So, well, but what you do is you come in a Cadillac. Thanks a lot.
Well, that's the car I drive. I'm over the road truck driver. I can afford
yes.
one.
All right, Anna, you made some great points. Thanks for calling. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Will NASCAR blow off its traditional fans for the gay fan? 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Talking right now with Paul Lane. Paul is with a marketing consultancy firm. They're pitching ideas to NASCAR on how to get the gay fans more involved because NASCAR right now would like to get that fan base involved. And you've got other plans to bring out gay fans, the gay discounted tickets, correct?
That is correct, Phil. We've got gay pit tours. A lot of the gays, they love Dale Jr., and you can come and sit in his car and that kind of thing. Gay pit tours, as I mentioned, meet the drivers before and after the race, that kind of thing.
So I imagine the drivers and teams appreciate more gay fans knowing the economics.
Well, you do get frustrated. I can tell you when I was racing, I had an engine blower. We were done. And I was walking to the van, and one of the fans was talking to me from behind a fence saying, you know, that's too bad, Paul. You know, I know that's a lot of money, Paul. I just said, oh, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, I tell you, I just got frustrated. But if it had been a gay fan, I at least would have had the assurance of knowing he knew what he was talking about, and I'd appreciate that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Is NASCAR going to blow off their traditional fan base to get more gay fans in. And here is Ron. Ron, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah. You say your name's Paul?
That's right, sir.
Well, are you a NASCAR representative?
No, sir, I'm not.
Well, what good do you think you're going to be doing?
Well, we're going to try to get some money into the sport.
Well, you know, as far as diversification goes, we've already paid the Rainbow Coalition $500,000 last year to keep Jesse Jackson off our back. Why don't we just fly that flag? Would that suit you?
What do you mean, we? See, I don't know who you represent.
NASCAR,
okay?
NASCAR.
No, you ain't NASCAR, sir. You're just another one of these Okies.
I beg your pardon.
No, you're not NASCAR.
I've got a NASCAR card in my pocket right now.
Oh, great.
Now, sir.
Okay, so you sent the box top in, and you got the card.
Why don't you resurrect Dick Trickle and have Dick Trickle, number 69 Mary Kay Cosmetics car, come out and help you all?
Okay.
And maybe you can honk on Bobo's nose.
Ron, I tell you what, Ron.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Jason, go ahead.
Okay.
Turn your radio down, Ace. Jason, you there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I have a couple of questions. What makes gay people so rich and smart? Like
they are rich, though, and that's where we're looking for their money.
He's making it sound like that most of them see $1 million and that.
That's
the average
right.
person has
they understand what $1 million is. I'll give you an example. I went out to do, I was driving after Dale Earnhardt, God rest his soul, passed on. I was driving by his home, and I saw all these fans that were parked outside his house. They were standing there with flowers, and they were, you know, pretending like they knew who Dale was. And I thought I couldn't take it any longer. I stopped. I got out of my car. I just yelled at him, "Get the hell out of here!" I ran them all off. You know, they didn't know that man. But the gay will take the time. I ran them off. I threw it, and they left some empties laying around. I just threw the empties at them. See?
Okay, well, another question.
The game knows the win-loss statistic, what kind of engine he uses, all about the pit crew and so forth.
Well, how much do you think that one average fan should pay? I mean, you're saying $9,000 from one person.
If you how many races you go to a year? You know, how many races you go to a year? If you pull your pickup truck into the infield, and say you buy six Monster beers at $5, that's $30. I guess that's a lot of money to you, but how many T-shirts are you buying? How many of the replica stock cars are you buying? How many of the memorabilia is you buying? If the truth be known, I think the drivers themselves appreciate the gay fan more than the hillbilly because it puts more money in their pockets.
All right, thanks, Jason. 1-800-449-8686. Last call here. Ed, go ahead.
Hi, Paul.
Yes, sir.
I just got a question for you. I mean, just like one of the callers earlier said, your basic redneck and hillbilly have been a NASCAR fan for a good number of years. They've been there for a hell of a lot longer than the gay population have.
People have,
especially
you know.
Since they haven't come out of the closet until recently. Don't you think...
Well, you're just repeating what some lady already said, sir. Do you have anything original to say?
Don't you think that you are risking chasing away the millions upon millions of rednecks and hillbillies that do support NASCAR in whatever way that they do, okay?
We don't
just
care.
Just for a handful of gays.
I don't care.
You don't care?
No.
I mean, not really, amount to a lot.
No, we don't need...
the number of people
we don't need
you're talking about
dumbass.
A handful of gay people that will contribute a hell of a lot
less. I'm trying to answer your question, sir. You won't let me answer your question. I'm saying we don't care about a bunch of dumbasses. We want some money.
Well, who are the dumbasses?
All those dumbasses that are waving their Confederate flags. We'll be bringing in millions and millions from rich gays, and what am I getting, like $50 from some dumbass in a truck? Come on,
okay,
man. Add it up.
What's $50 times a million? $50 times a million?
Okay, what's $100 times a million? Can you add that up? Good.
Yeah, well, I got to tell
you
this,
Mike,
you won't get a million gay fans out there compared to the million...
Well, I might not get a million, but I know we'll get you.
Out there.
I know we'll
even
get you.
Even at $10 per truck or even at $1 per truck, if you've got 10 million people out there,
can ask you $10
each.
Let me ask you a question.
A hell of a lot more than the gay demographic.
How much do you spend at a race?
Pardon me?
How much do you spend at a race?
Oh, I go out there and I spend an average of $200-$300 every time I go out.
And you're gay?
No, I am not gay.
Wait a minute. You started the whole
with children.
$300 and...
Absolutely.
So you are gay.
I buy the t-shirts, I buy the mugs.
If you spend $300 at a race, you got to be gay. Because I've never heard of a hillbilly.
You're crazy with that.
No.
You are absolutely
no. How do you figure?
By saying that.
Look, Bert and his horse
you apparently have no idea what you're talking about.
I know exactly what I'm talking about.
An affluent, intelligent individual can go to a NASCAR race and spend $300.
No, I'm saying, you sound intelligent, but the average dumbass don't spend that kind of money.
And the average dumbass spends about 10 bucks or 15 or 20 bucks.
Right, you can't get tap water with that money.
That million is what? Answer that question for me.
Ed, you can't get tap water with the kind of money that these hillbillies...
Versus the 500 or 1,000 or maybe 800 gays that would go to a NASCAR race.
All right, I'll give you an example.
Compared to 10,000 people that would like to get in the stands.
You give me six... Hill trash, or I'm sorry.
Why don't we just call them six regular?
All right, six regular people and their kids. They can't come close to bringing in the kind of money that two gay boys can bring in on any given race. Two of them, because they buy the leather gear.
There's another thing that you're wrong in. That's another thing that you're wrong.
No, you don't know what you're talking about, sir. I've studied the whole matter from upside down. I even went out.
A handful of those have
I even went out. I had sex with a man just to make sure I knew what I was talking about.
You know what?
Okay.
Only a handful of those gay people have the kind of money you're talking about.
Well, I went out
okay,
and
what
I
you're
had,
doing is you're tar- you're,
I had
you're,
active
you're
sex in a bathhouse with a
much
man
larger
so
demographic,
I could study the situation.
A much larger money-making demographic by bringing in the gay population
yeah, right.
and
okay.
targeting them.
Yeah, I want to get Bocephus and his toothless wife in the back of a truck waving a Confederate flag because that's really the high-dollar demographic. Buddy, what are you smoking? And give me a puff on it before you throw it away.
We are talking.
Thanks very much.
Jesus.
All right.
And I was being made love to by this gay man, and I asked him, "Do you like NASCAR?" He said, "Hell yeah." I said, "Well, that's what we got to do."
All right. Well, good going, Steve. Or what is it, Steve Bozell, or is it Paul Lane?
This is Steve Bozell. I'm Paul Lane.
Well, that's the same guy. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life. The Phil Henry Show is back. Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I can't believe what I'm hearing, Mr. Henry. This guy is absolutely ridiculous.
There's been racism against the Latin people for years. Selena got stabbed.
Why do you have to advertise that you're Mexican or whatever?
Because that's why nobody wants to reimburse me for my business expense, even though they'll reimburse some white man who lives in a trailer when it gets blown away by a tornado.
How do they know that you're Mexican? You're selling wigs. Nobody's jumping on the Elvis
no,
wig.
No, I sell them at a stand, outdoor stand in Echo Park.
All right, so what do you... Okay, give me this one. The guys outside of concerts and football games selling T-shirts, and they don't make their money back. Should they get subsidized, too?
Is he a Mexican? I think he
it
has...
It doesn't matter.
I think he has a case if he's Mexican.
No.
You're saying he's... You're saying he's
I'm,
white.
All right.
Well, how do you make
sir,
a case?
I'm white. If I had a stand selling Elvis wigs, I wouldn't expect anybody to come to it.
Well, then you're not a very good salesman. You're not a very good salesman.
Wait
well,
a minute.
Obviously, you're not either. And that's all it is. It has nothing to do with your race. You're not a good salesman either.
Why are you saying these are top quality wigs? We offer $25
so
reconditioning.
Who the hell wants an Elvis wig? That's your problem.
First of all,
it may be a legitimate business, but it's not a... I'm sorry in my language. It's not a hot...
Let me ask... Here's the thing I'm saying to you. 25 years ago this week, Elvis Presley died. This is the 25th anniversary of his death.
I know this.
Okay, so it is a collectible.
Okay.
Now, if he's a white man who's running a stand, I don't think he should get reimbursed because there's no history of racism against white men. But if he's Mexican, he should get reimbursed.
No, you don't have a case.
Well, that's nuts, man. How do you separate out the fact that your product is substandard from the fact that nobody wants to buy it because you're Mexican?
Because of the fact that they give trailer people money when their trailer gets blown away. They give dairy farmers money. They give wheat farmers
dairy
money.
Dairy farmers are providing milk and eggs.
No, they pay them.
You don't need an Elvis wig.
They pay them not to make milk. They pay them not to grow wheat. They pay them not to grow corn. How do you figure that?
Yeah.
See, you don't have an answer for that.
You're right, because nobody wants an Elvis wig, sir.
I sold all I had in Mexico. Then I came across the border. I tried to make it on the USA. USA spit on me.
How'd you get across the border?
That's not relevant.
Good question.
That's not relevant.
Good question.
Why isn't it relevant?
It's just not relevant.
You're not even an American citizen, but yet you want American money.
How did you get
your product that nobody wants?
If you look at the polls in Mexico right now...
Are you an American citizen, sir?
I think that's irrelevant to what I'm talking about.
No, I don't think so, because you're asking for American money and you're not even a citizen.
How come I was able to sell Elvis wigs in Mexico?
Because you're Mexican.
Yeah, I guess they aren't
racist. That's your country.
Our government sends food to Afghanistan, okay?
Wait, you're saying our government, you're not even a citizen.
Okay, let me tell you this.
You're not a
you're
citizen,
really dodging,
and you want American money.
You're dodging this guy.
All right, let me say this.
No, but you're dodging this guy, okay?
No, I'm in California right now. California at one time was a part of Mexico. If you go down to Mexico right now, you'll find a lot of people think it still ought to be a part.
Well, it ain't. It ain't, and this is America. Now, how did you get over the border here?
That's not relevant.
It is relevant.
It is relevant. You're asking for American money, and you're not American.
Do you know how
hard it is?
You're
not a citizen.
Okay, let me tell you something. You talk about entrepreneurial spirit. I had to sneak $10,000 worth of Elvis wigs from Mexico to the United States.
That's great. Become a citizen. Become a citizen, and then ask for money.
Now you've just admitted that you snuck $10,000 worth of wigs.
All right, I admit that. But
so you're an illegal immigrant looking for our money, and you're complaining that people from 9/11 are getting money and people's houses are wrecked by tragedy and disaster, they get money. They deserve it. They're citizens.
How do they deserve it? How stupid do you have to be to put a trailer in the middle of tornado country?
How stupid do you have to be to smuggle wigs over the border? I can't even believe I'm saying it.
My wigs are 100% lice-free. These are wigs that are reconditioned for...
I understand your freaking guarantee.
You're on air trying to sell your product that nobody wants.
They gave a food to Afghanistan.
They gave food... Yeah,
because we're bombing their country. There are innocent people over there that do deserve that money.
Some people over there have been the collateral damage of a war, innocent people who need food. You snuck $10,000 worth of Elvis wigs across the border into the United States. You can't sell them. Even though they're lice-free, and you give a $25 recondition.
Okay, see, that's all racist, because you love to laugh at the Mexicans.
Racist.
All you want to do is laugh at the Mexicans.
We're not laughing at you because you're Mexican. We're laughing at you because you're selling a half-assed product. You're looking for money from a country that isn't yours.
You know there are innocent people here in America who are getting ripped off because we was lied to about how popular Elvis Presley was? Now
that's your problem.
No,
carpe diem, dude.
That's not my problem.
It is.
How do you
feel? Don't believe the hype.
Okay, but Elvis, everybody said Elvis was popular.
Elvis is popular. It doesn't mean his hair is. You're not even selling his hair. You're selling a wig that looks like his hair.
This is something you can wear.
Okay, look, Matt, we've taken up enough of your time.
No, I want to make a point.
What colors are the wigs?
What color?
Yeah, they're black?
No, they're red.
They're red! Elvis has black hair!
Hey, excuse me, I don't know if you've seen the kids these days. They like to dye their hair red, blue, and all of that.
Oh, my God. Buddy, you don't have a product. That's your problem. You don't have a product. Quit complaining.
That anybody wants.
I have already petitioned the United States Department of Commerce.
Well, then you're not going to get nothing.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else. If you saw the movie Kissing Cousins, Elvis had red hair. So, you know, it can go either way.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I don't remember the lady's name, but then again, she's not a lady.
My name is
How the hell do you perform oral sex on a guy that gives you his word he's not going to report it? Now, if he reports it, what happens? What happens then? Your husband finds out you're a slut in an alley,
he told me
and you're still dirty the car.
He
He told me that he wasn't going to say anything.
He told you?
And so far he hasn't.
He told you?
He hasn't told me anything.
You know what?
Honey,
I don't know how old you are, but your brain didn't grow with your body.
Wait a second. He told me he wasn't telling Jerry. He hasn't told Jerry. He kept his word.
He kept his word?
Yes.
And you kept his putts in your mouth.
You
did he give it to you in writing also? You know what?
You're a stupid lady.
I'm not going to even wait for your answer because I'm not going to stay on the air that long. You did a stupid thing. Your husband would have less respect for you if he finds this out than he would have if you came to him like a woman and said, look, I banged up the car.
But
big deal.
You don't know my husband. All right?
I don't care about anybody, but I would.
I would perform oral sex on Osama bin Laden and have him find out.
Oh, you know what? You would like to perform oral sex on every man that walked the street and you'll have an excuse why you did it.
You know something that's really insulting? Because
no, it's
I'm
not. What you did is what you did is it insulting to women.
Do I tell him
you
what
insult
happened?
Women.
You lower
the standard of a woman by saying the things you've just said. You take your marriage and you throw it in the garbage can by saying what you said. Talking to you is a waste of my time.
I'm trying
because
to get
you to
understand.
No, don't tell me
have you been in a relationship?
Have you been in a relationship with a bum in an alley to protect your husband? Protect your husband from what? From what are you protecting him? From
protecting
a piece of garbage that he married?
No,
you're protecting yourself.
From the possibility of a stroke. And I don't want
to
have
a stroke. If he didn't have a stroke living with a piece of garbage like you till now, believe me, the man will want to die when he finds out what he's lived with all these years. That's why men die first.
Most
because
women,
they want to get away from women like you.
You know that most women would perform oral sex.
No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't.
For knocking over the china. You
no,
know
they
that.
Wouldn't.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Define prostitute. Bill Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Austin Amarcus with us, who will be giving classes at the community college along with his wife Janine on how to communicate with your child. It sounds like you're. It sounds like you're. Where are you at the Six Flags right now, Austin?
Yeah, Phil. As a matter of fact, we are. Jeannie and I enjoy coming out here sometimes with our grandkids, but today we're just enjoying the water park over here at Hurricane Harbor.
Now, these classes are going to run through August, and they will entail re-educating, as you say, today's parents on what they should allow their kids to read and listen to. Give me an example of that.
Well, let's take, for example, this J.K. Rowling now. I don't know if you've heard about her, but she has written these Harry Potter books, and she has millions of American parents that are eating right out of her hand. And I saw this, and Jeannie and I talked about it, and I felt so sorry, really, for the millions of American parents who really are getting the wool pulled over their eyes. What we want to do is we desperately want to help these parents. We want to help them understand how they are damaging their kids by letting them read these books.
But my kids read them. Are you talking about the Harry Potter books?
No, but I'm talking mostly about the parents that are not educated. And I got to tell you, Phil, that as an example, what I'm talking about, J.K. Rowling has got all the kids knowing when the book comes out. It comes out this Friday.
This is a new Harry Potter book.
Right, and she's got them telling their parents, so the new Harry Potter book's coming out Friday.
When you feel sorry for parents, why?
Because they're letting their children read these books that mock the modern idea of Christianity. They mock the idea of monotheism. They take religion completely out of a child's life, and they replace it with the world of magic and conjuring. I mean, everything that we know that belongs to the world of Satan and evil, and yet, as parents, these people will fork out $29.95 for a hardcover so their children can come home, settle into a big chair with a big glass of milk, and slowly but surely lose their souls. And so we're having a seminar to help these parents
Because I feel badly for them. I was a parent. I'm a grandparent.
Well, you're not the first to criticize the Harry Potter book as destructive and a book that is a de-Christianizing book.
Well, what we're going to do is obviously all these parents need is for someone to sit them down.
And you're talking about your class, right?
Yes.
Okay.
All these parents need, Phil, is for someone to sit them down and explain the cold truth without the kids around. You can't get through to a parent when all they're thinking about is making their kid happy by buying a Harry Potter book, which should, and seriously, Jeannie and I think that the book should be called, because a lot of them are called Harry Potter, the Sorcerer's Stone, Harry Potter this. We think it's a better title for this book, and what communicates better to the parents, Harry Potter, your children will broil in hell, because that's what's going to happen.
You're coming from a very specific religious outlook, a Christian outlook, and there are people, quite simply, that don't share that.
Well, you don't have to share it.
Let's say that I'm non-religious. Let's say that I'm just a guy who is secular, and I let my kids read this.
Well, it doesn't matter what religion you are. Your child reading these books is exposed to a world of polytheism.
And when you say polytheism, a world of many gods?
Many gods, a world of magic, of conjuring, of a hocus-pocus. A sick world in which, the kids are flying and all of this. You show them the Harry Potter book and explain to them in simple language that the book is bad, which is what we do in our class, and these parents can have an opportunity.
All right. We talked with a woman on our Newsmaker line from Lancaster who took a little offense at one of the classes that she went to.
No, I know the gal you're talking about, Phil.
All right. She took a little offense at one of the classes.
Well, this gal was on... As it turned out, she was on antidepressants. She didn't understand the nature of the class.
Well, was there a book burning?
No, sir, not a book burning at all. Let me explain to you. What we do in our class is this. We have a demonstration of the truly destructive nature of these Harry Potter books. We give a lecture. The lecture lasts for 15 minutes. We ask the parents to bring a copy of a Harry Potter book, which we collect from them. The class then assembles out in the parking lot in a cleared-out area at that time, and we demonstrate what the book can do to a truly Christian soul. Jeanine, my wife, volunteers at the San Presco Fire Station. She has a license. She pours an accelerant on the books, and they are then ignited. And at that point, we describe to the parents really the agony of a life in eternity away from the face of God because you were too stupid to monitor what your kids are reading.
Well, according to your literature, and I'm reading from it, today's parents are too ignorant to know what it is their children are reading. Today, children are more intelligent than their parents and thus understand the true nature of a book much more than their parents do. Case in point, the Harry Potter book. While the children lose their souls, their parents are fooled into thinking it is simply fantasy. Now,
that is true.
Hold on. I'm going to give our number out. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Austin Amarca and his wife. They conduct a class called Communicating Better with Your Children.
But Phil, American parents should be ashamed of themselves for allowing the Potter stuff into their homes when it's very clearly a book that is going to, siphon away the life of a child. But I'm not angry at the parents. I feel sorry for the American parents.
Well, this was the essential point of the class that you're having is you take pity on today's parents, don't you?
Yes, I do.
So you're taking pity on me because
Did you buy these books for your kids?
I didn't buy them. My kids buy them.
But you let your kids read them.
Yeah, I do. And
well, then I do take pity on you, Phil.
But you understand something. I'm not a stupid man.
I didn't say that you were, sir.
Well, you're intimating that any parent that lets their kid read the Harry Potter book is stupid.
I think on a level, yeah, you are stupid.
What if I told you I didn't like being called stupid?
I'm sorry. I truly am. I feel sorry for you. I don't hate you. I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you and the millions of parents out there that go out to the store and buy the Harry Potter book and they have no earthly idea what they're getting into. It is simply a book that is going to completely strip, in my opinion, a child's understanding of...
Well, hold on for a minute. This is a book about a little boy with magical powers who flies around. When I was a kid, I had books about magical powers.
Well, okay, all right, let's go your way on this. Let's say it's a harmless book. What it does to a child who is trying to understand the concept of Jesus Christ and a monotheism, that is, one God, now you say the children can fly and that owls and all this nonsense can talk. Now the kid starts thinking, maybe it's possible. And the next thing you know, you have a child who's beginning to waver in his beliefs. Now try to get parents to understand that. They can't. I take pity because these parents are so weak they succumb to their kids' whims. And they buy the Harry Potter book for them.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. You've got parents coming out with Harry Potter books, and you're burning the books.
No, sir.
Well, you've got the books piled in the middle of a pile, and you're burning them, even though you tell the parents it's a demonstration, right?
It is a demonstration. It's a demonstration of what we think can happen to the everlasting soul of a child. And I say... And you know, Phil, it's funny. A lot of these parents are so thick that I have to stand there with the book and I say, Harry Potter book, bad. Then I point to the fire, I say, fire bad, and I throw the book in.
You believe you're dealing with imbeciles.
Not imbeciles. I think today's modern American parent is simply misinformed to the point of acting stupid. Are they really stupid? I don't think so, but they walk around as if they are stupid. And every time you see a parent buy a Harry Potter book at a bookstore, you have to stifle a laugh. I do. I really do.
All right. But let me ask you something about Jeannie said that you and she were over at Barnes & Noble, and you were pointing and laughing at people getting into line carrying Harry Potter books. Is that true?
That is true in one instance.
And what were you saying to these people?
We were saying, look at them. They got a Harry. We were laughing at them.
Okay, and that's what's that supposed to do, make them put the book back?
Just let them know we know how foolish they are, how stupid they are. Look, a good portion of American parents don't even know how to read, so they don't have a clue what darkness is in these books.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Austin DeMarc and his wife Jeannie have a seminar that they conduct for parents, as he puts it, too stupid to understand what is actually in the Harry Potter books, that they are dangerous books, and most parents don't understand that they are. They also were seen at a local bookstore laughing at people getting in line with a Harry Potter book, trying to humiliate them into not buying the book. I think they're using a lot of controversial methods. I said, you guys are doing a book burning. He said, no, it's a demonstration. Well, if you're having parents bring their Harry Potter books down, and then you're taking the books away from them, not telling them what you're going to do with them, and then you burn them, that's a book burning. And he doesn't even reimburse them the $29.95 or whatever it is for the book. So the guy is obviously against the Harry Potter books. He thinks, as he says, they are the Harry Potter your child will broil in hell books. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We eat kids. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Talking with Austin DeMarc, who... What do you do for a living, sir?
Mr. Hendry, I'm a cabinet maker. I'm a cabinet man. I do interior cabinet work, kitchens and homes, and I have been doing that work in the Santa Clarita Valley in California now. I'm very proud to say for 21 years. My wife, Jeannie, and I just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. And we're very happy. We're happy and proud of the work we're doing on the Harry Potter books.
You say that you hold the book up, you say book bad, and you throw it into the fire as if people are stupid.
Well, I keep saying it. I don't know if you've ever put a wiener in front of a dog, but that's what you do with the book. I say, it's like you put a wiener in front of the dog, and you say, look, there's a wiener, and the dog will eat it. Well, with the book, you say, no, it's not good. You got to throw it in the fire. That's what you're dealing with today's parents. Today's parents, as well-meaning as they are about as bright and socially receptive as the average dachshund or I used to have bird dogs, what you call Weimaraners or the retrievers. And I can tell you, Mr. Henry, and I say this without cracking a smile, I have had bird dogs anywhere from a beagle all the way on up to a Cocker Spaniel that have had more social sophistication, more intelligence, and more mechanical skill than most of today's parents.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go over to Donna. Donna, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Austin Amarca.
Well, I'll tell you, my comments to this man is that I think his loyalty is just a bit misguided when it comes to the Harry Potter books. Sure, now these books are strictly a fantasy book, and anybody who takes them beyond that rim, you know, they have the problem. I mean, I think he needs to be focusing on more real-life issues that our kids are being are having to deal with every single day.
Well, our children are going to be reading these books every single day, and our grandchildren too, Donna.
There's nothing wrong with these books. I would disagree.
The new Harry Potter book's coming out on Friday, and all living hell is going to break loose on that day when kids are crawling all over each other trying to get this book. All right, now, you want to stand by and watch that happen, you be my guest.
Well, actually, I'm probably going to be buying one for my daughter. We've read every one of them and seen every book.
Well, that you told me a world, that you told me more than I need to know about you. You know, there's an old saying the kids use, TMI. You just gave me too much information about you.
Well, what does that mean, sir? I mean,
with all due respect to the lady, she's one of these people that J.K. Rowling has pulled the wool over her eyes.
It's a book about fantasy.
Ma'am,
it's a fantasy
I can take you down to an adult bookstore and show you movies that are about fantasy, too. And they
take
the girls...
But the difference is that's a real-life thing when you go down to adult bookstores. You're actually dealing with flesh and blood.
Could I ask you a question? Are you going to buy a broomstick for your daughter, too?
A broomstick? Now, why would I do that? Obviously,
on account of the magic and witchcraft that is supported, emboldened, and promoted in the Harry Potter books. So you might as well have your daughter flying around on a broomstick, cooking up little kids or whatever they do.
Have you even read any of the books?
Ma'am, I read the overleaf.
You read the overleaf? You mean
Okay, have you seen any of the books?
I have seen pictures of the books.
Have you seen any of the movies?
I read the book. No, ma'am, I wouldn't go. Why would I waste my money on that?
Well, obviously, you feel extremely passionate. I would think that someone in your position would at least go to the movies, read the book, to know exactly what you are attacking.
Let me tell you what we do on Sunday. My wife and I go to church. Then we go into the bookstore. We stand by the Harry Potter display. And when a parent reaches to buy the book, we hand them a baby pacifier and tell them to smarten up and grow up.
Why aren't you and your wife standing by the Playboy in the penthouses?
Because
that reveal female body parts.
Because I am overcoming
And how about all the tattoos that spread AIDS?
Ma'am.
And what about those?
I'm trying to overcome a sex addiction myself. I don't need to put myself in harm's way.
And I think you're telling us a lot more about you.
You asked me why I'm
telling
not...
that.
You asked me...
Wait a minute. You said you're overcoming a sex addiction?
Through the grace of Jesus Christ, I have conquered these carnal desires, and I'm working now on helping our young people, and most importantly, their parents stay away from these Harry Potter books.
So you
Harry
don't go to the...
Harry Potter books? There's no sex involved in Harry Potter.
It's got nothing to do with sex. Harry Potter is all about magic. And let me tell you something. If you don't think magic and sex don't have nothing to do with each other, I can tell you about a young man who is a United States Naval Petty Officer, and he was 25 years of age, and his name was Austin Amarca, at a port of call in Haiti. And I got involved with two black women, and I don't even want to tell you, but it involved voodoo.
You're kidding me.
No, ma'am. That has to do with the...
Are you telling me that you were a U.S. Naval officer?
I was a petty officer, yeah.
And you were involved with a couple of Haitian women in a voodoo sex triangle?
You know, Mr. Henry, as long as I love our grandchildren, you can laugh all you want.
Come on, man. It's funny. Don't you think so, Donna?
Well, I think it is just hilarious that he is so passionate about Harry Potter when there's so much larger issues that our kids are having to deal with. I mean, Harry Potter is a book and a fantasy.
Don't you understand that these Harry Potter books are jamming millions and millions and millions of dollars into that J.K. Rowling, into her pocketbook? And who knows? You talk about AIDS. You know where she comes from, don't you? She was on welfare. So don't talk to me about AIDS.
So there's hardworking people on welfare.
Look,
whether they're white, black, green, or purple, that does not mean just because they are on welfare that they are a recipient of AIDS.
Yeah, well, if your daughter comes into your bedroom some morning at 3 a.m. with a pitchfork or a wooden stake or a piece of a kitchen knife,
I will not attribute it to her reading Harry Potter.
There ain't no magic going to cure AIDS, I'll tell you that.
All right, listen, Donna, you made some great points. Thank you. I'm not sure that a lot of them got through, but you made...
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
Well, when you started getting off on the voodoo sex triangle that you got involved in Haiti...
I'm telling you that I have seen magic close up. I have seen magic close up, and I have seen... You don't have to believe me. Go down to Miami, Florida, and talk to any cab driver down there with a French accent. Any cab driver in Miami who looks like he's got a good tan and has a French accent, and he'll tell you all you need to know about the sexual excess that the voodoo and this kind of nonsense can take you into. And I had a 48-hour shore pass, and I wound up getting involved. They had me in a coffin. Oh, jeez.
All right, man. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Austin Amarca, along with his wife, Jeannie, they are two concerned grandparents from Lancaster, California. The Harry Potter book is coming out Friday, and it is a book that the kids shouldn't have. And he feels sorry for parents who are too stupid to keep it away from their children. They're having a seminar to teach parents how to be smart enough to not give it to their kids. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Communist Influenced.
More minutes with Austin Amarca and his wife Jeannie. They're having a seminar at the community college this weekend about communicating with your children about Harry Potter, and the new Harry Potter book is out on Friday. And Mr. Amarca, you basically called it a Satanist tome.
But that's not the point of what I'm trying to say, Phil. What I'm trying to say is that parents, I feel sorry for them that they're so conned by this J.K. Rowling. And I got to tell you something. And J.K. Rowling is the author of the Harry Potter book. She was a welfare mother, and so I don't know what kind of disease you get there. On top of that, I'm going to ask you a question. What kind of drug or drugs or mixture of chemicals do you have to be ingesting in order to come up with half of this stuff? Now, it's no secret that Lewis Carroll, who wrote Alice in Wonderland, was a hophead. No secret that Edgar Allan Poe was a hophead. No, no.
Whoa, wait a minute. Edgar Allan Poe smoked opium.
That's what I said.
Well, when you say hophead, some people may think you're talking about smack. And
oh, well, excuse me. I didn't mean... Why? Well, I don't know what's the difference, you know?
Well, all right, but you're right. Edgar Allan Poe smoked opium. What's that got to do with Harry Potter?
I just mentioned Lewis Carroll. And
all right, Lewis Carroll, Alice in Wonderland. Point being,
you can't come up with half of this stuff unless you're half out of your mind on some kind of psychotropic or some kind of mushroom that you picked off of a cow turd. Now, I will tell you this, and I say this with the greatest of respect to Ms. Rowling, but as a former welfare mother, has she been AIDS tested? Has she been drug tested? Has anybody taken a look at her arms to see if she's got anything on her arm other than a wristwatch, like maybe some scabbing? No. You want to know why? Because all they can do is milk her like a Jersey cow for every last greenback they can squeeze out of her. I feel sorry for her, too.
Well, that's not what you were saying earlier. 1-800...
I think I did.
No, you didn't. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Joan. Go ahead, Joan. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I think that you're very wrong. I think all children are entitled to fantasies. Now, let me finish what I'm going to say.
What kind of fantasies?
I grew up with Wizard of Oz. I grew up with Cinderella. I don't know that these people were on hop, as you say.
Oh, but I do feel
that you're out of line.
Now, can I ask you a question? Did you say that you played with your poo?
I grew up with Winnie
the Pooh. She said Winnie the Pooh.
Are you familiar with A.A. Milne, sir?
Ma'am?
The author A.A. Milne. Are you familiar with him at all?
You're talking about Alcoholics Anonymous.
No, the author, A.A. Milne. He wrote Winnie the Pooh.
All right, all I heard was the woman said she played with her poo, which I thought...
Sir, you're out of line.
No, ma'am.
Absolutely out of line. Absolutely out of line.
Ma'am, Lewis Carroll, who wrote Alice in Wonderland...
I'm not talking about Lewis Carroll. I'm talking about...
was a hophead.
I'm talking about the man that wrote Winnie the Pooh. I'm talking about the man that wrote The Wizard of Oz.
Now, who wrote Wizard of Oz?
I believe his name was Braun.
Well, I thought it was Bert Lahr.
Bert Lahr played the lion in the movie.
Oh my.
Sir, where did you get your education?
Ma'am, I confess I have a degree from my high school in Louisville, Kentucky. I do not have college, but I love my grandchildren. I love my children.
All right, sir, I didn't graduate from college either.
Well, then you
but I am very well read.
You can hardly... Well, I don't call reading books about Pooh or whatever that was.
Winnie the Pooh, sir, was a famous child's book.
Whatever you say. But the... All right,
and,
I know.
Sir, I am 71 years old. I have 5 grandchildren. I have 4 great-grandchildren.
Ma'am, look. J.K. Rowling, who wrote the book Harry Potter... is British, and as you know...
And so was A.A. Milne, as a matter of fact,
well,
who wrote Winnie the Pooh. And
right.
So was the man that wrote The Wizard of Oz.
All right, now wait a minute. Judy Garland wrote The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, sir,
oh, man.
You were so out of line.
No, ma'am,
Judy Garland was in The Wizard of Oz. Wow!
Mr. Henry, you can laugh at me all you want.
Well, I'm going to laugh at a guy that thinks Judy Garland wrote The Wizard of Oz. Yeah! Frank Braun, I think, Joan, is the
yes,
man's name.
Yes, thank you. I thought it was Braun, but I wasn't sure.
Well, who's Judy Garland?
She played the kid! Who's Judy Garland?
Look,
sir,
ma'am, most
British... What are you on tonight? What are you on?
Now, ma'am, that is uncalled for. You don't have to say that. The
Why
fact is that I have a bipolar condition, and I am taking two different antipsychotics. One is Limbitrol and the other is Desaril.
So you're on medication.
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, because you're talking like it.
I'm talking like what? Have you
like
read
you're on something.
Have you read the Harry Potter books, or you just like to hear the sound of your voice?
No, I have read the Harry Potter books. And also, I have another thing that I'd like to say. There are a lot of people that I know that are on welfare that have bettered themselves. I have nothing but admiration for this woman who...
Absolutely. I agree with you, ma'am. I'm just saying, did anyone check her for scabbing? That's all.
And I'm asking you again, what are you on?
I told you I do take medication for a bipolar condition.
Well,
are you high?
I think maybe you... You better take look at yourself, sir.
Well, ma'am, don't you think before J.K. Rowling was allowed into a publishing house or a magazine or newspaper publishing house that someone would have checked her for scabbing or pus?
Oh, God.
Oh,
well,
Lord.
Well, what are you talking about? Look at Joan, you're a lady, and I don't want to expose you to this. So.
Listen to you.
I don't want to expose you to this, Joan. I'll say goodbye to you. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to, let's see. Who are we going to now? This is Carrie. Hi, Carrie. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. I just want to say I don't think he gives parents any credit, and he certainly does not give the kids any credit that they deserve. I have 3 daughters who go to Mass twice a week. They serve at Mass. They canter at Mass. They could not be more devout in their faith. And they love Harry Potter books. They understand that it's a fantasy book. They know they're not going to get on a broom and fly around.
Right.
They know they're not going to conjure up anything. It's just a fun, book to read.
Yeah, my kids go to Catholic Mass, and my son's an altar server. My daughter's an altar server.
Can I interrupt both of you?
Go ahead.
I assume by what the two of you are talking about that you're Catholic. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's correct. Yeah.
All right. See, that's a whole other thing right there.
It's not a whole other thing.
It's weird. It's weird. You know, you're...
What do you mean it's weird?
Well, what's with you people anyway with the wafer and the wine? You know...
That is the bread and the blood.
Talk about hocus pocus, man. That's the biggest one up there is hocus pocus.
Well, look, now you're going to start bagging on people's religion? Is that it?
That's all I've been doing. I'm talking about Wicca, witchcraft...
Do you understand the character of Harry Potter? What Harry Potter does is he is this little boy who has grown up in this horrible household, but still is a nice young man who would give his life to save his friends, which is what Jesus has taught us all. I mean, he fights evil, but he is not evil himself. He fights evil. He's a good friend to all of his friends. They all love each other.
I got to ask you a question, dear.
Yes.
Is this Victoria Jackson?
No.
Oh, will you stop it?
Well, it sounded a lot like her. I think that Harry, can you do the splits on the desk?
All right, come on, man. Now, Harry Potter books are. Thank you, Victoria. I mean, Carrie.
So you thought it was her, too?
No, I didn't. The Harry Potter book is available on Friday, and buy it for your kids. My kids are going to be buying it.
See, you're Catholic. You read Harry Potter. You're about as sick and twisted as they come. Up yours.
Well, okay. 1-800-449-8686. Did Judy Garland write The Wizard of Oz? This is The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. The Phil Henry Show is back.
You know, Geraldo Rivera has been a distinguished journalist for a great many years, but as he gets older, he's morphing ever so slightly into Captain Kangaroo. If you look at the mustache and the glasses and the hair, and it's too bad, too, because I used to be able to take him seriously, but now every time I look at him, I'm going to be thinking about Dancing Bear and that rabbit that threw the ping pongs on him. Ping pong balls? All right, now we have... Coming up, Art Griego from our show. Art is a flight instructor who was looking forward to Father's Day with his daughter. She hasn't talked to him, though, in 5 years. Why? Because according to him, he, quote, tried to feel her up, end quote, at her graduation party. It's pretty sick and twisted, as only Art Griego can be.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I just don't believe this is the first time he's ever copped a feel.
Oh, well, how nice for you, Deanna. It is.
Anyone who would do that to their own daughter, I don't care if she's 50, you don't touch your daughter. You have broken a trust, and you can't even apologize and try to get past that. Of course she doesn't want to see you.
I said I'd apologize to her if we could have drinks.
Oh, yeah. Why? So you can fill her up again?
Well, what business is it of yours?
You brought it in me. Everybody's been here. You've got your laundry hanging out.
The only thing I got hanging out right now is my reputation, all right? I zipped up long ago, and I came on this program to promote my business and to talk about Father's Day, and I was tricked into this by Mr. Henry.
I didn't trick you into anything, sir. You said that your daughter hadn't...
I was tricked into this by Mr. Henry, who wants something salacious and sensational for his radio program.
You had a problem with it.
I beg your pardon?
You would have hung up if you had a problem with it.
How would you feel?
You won't apologize. You don't think anything you did was wrong.
I did apologize to her. I said I'll apologize to her if we can get a room at the Portofino.
What do you mean, get a room at the Portofino?
I want to have a father and daughter weekend.
I wouldn't even trust you. You have no idea what kind of bond of trust you've broken. You don't even know.
What bond of trust? When a man pays you the compliment of admiring your breasts, that should increase your trust.
No,
not your daughter. Not your daughter and not a daughter and father.
My
told me to wear my shirt, wear better shirts, so I didn't show him so much.
Well, he was probably just trying to make you feel better because you weren't all that developed. I will tell you this much. I had too much to drink.
No, that's an excuse. You said she was 18. Obviously, you waited till she was 18, which I don't believe. I think you did it years before. I don't think you have any boundaries.
If I got to grow up, why doesn't she have to grow up? And on top of that, she's the lesbian.
No, she has a father who doesn't think he did anything
wrong. And plus, your dad likes to fantasize you were showing him so much. That's why he said cover up.
No, he didn't.
Oh, will you stop and start dragging somebody into it? Don't drag him.
My dad told me women need to have self-respect and just make sure what you wear is conservative. He said, you don't want to be out there advertising what... If you're not a girl that's giving it up to everybody, you don't wear clothes like you would. And I never did. And my dad cared about me as a person. He never would have even thought about touching me. And if I ever thought about touching my child, I would rather blow my brains out.
You know what? Your dad sounds like he was very boring.
No, my dad was not a boring man.
He sounds like a bore.
He was
Why?
Not a boring
man.
Because
he imparted some nice things, some values to his daughter. All right, listen, Deanna.
Well, okay. I'm not going to sit here and keep taking abuse from these people. I told you that I'd been drinking too much and that we'd had an audit. It was a lousy feel-up, okay? It's a way of showing affection, like a pat on the butt.
You have no morals. That's a way of showing you have no morals.
Okay,
You treated her like a piece of meat.
How come?
Admit it. How
come football players get to hit each other on the butt?
They don't mean anything sexual by it. And if they do, oh, wow, they're consenting adults, not related
consenting
to each other.
Consenting adults? I don't know if those guys are consenting to having their butts felt up.
They're not feeling their butts up.
I think it's silly.
They're not feeling it.
Yes, they are. You see these guys in the football field feeling up each other's rear ends.
They're slapping each other on the butt. It's a traditional way of showing encouragement.
You guys are full of all kinds of excuses, but when I come up with the fact that I had too many screwdrivers...
Blame it on alcohol. What, did you beat your wife, too? Maybe that's why she's frigid.
I hit my wife because I'd had a couple of extra screwdrivers.
Oh, yeah. See, I just guessed that. I must have tuned in too late.
You belted your wife?
She talked back to me. What am I supposed to do?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Redneck ribs. We got garlic gook potatoes and crab cakes. Jap jerk chicken and the Indian pie. Are you an Indian?
No, I'm a good old Southern South Carolina redneck.
If you're an Indian, me serve them fire water.
We got that.
Yeah. Well, are you preparing your meals the same way that you're preparing what you're saying about all your history? Because if your meals are prepared like your history is, it's pretty damn bad eating.
Well, that's colorful. I like that, but I don't understand it.
Why the hell can't you understand it? It's pretty damn simple.
No, it's not. Are you telling me I'm wrong about the history of the South?
I'm very wrong. About it all.
How come black people don't like it down there? Because people own slaves. How come they get angry?
Why are there more black people living in the South if they hate it so damn bad?
That's where all the slaves were.
Well, you said that... Why,
see, I got you on that one, Danny. Now, another one. How come they turn fire hoses only on Negroes and not on white people in Birmingham? Once again, the slave thing. And another thing, how come...
Wait a minute, Ted. I mean, your history, while you're correct in saying that they turn fire hoses on civil rights workers, I mean...
Well, listen, this guy's laughing. He thinks it's funny.
I don't think that's funny.
Well, I think you're funny.
How am I funny? What have I gotten wrong so far?
I think you're very ignorant on what you're saying.
How come they call white people in the South gator bait?
I ain't never heard that.
Well, can we get off the race thing here for a minute?
Oh, I'm not saying that. The Southerners are great people. Once we kicked their ass, they figured out they were wrong.
Well, let me ask you something.
Man.
What's this deal about any country that America has beat? You don't think the South was part of America?
No, it was the Confederate States of America, and it had a different president. What are you laughing at?
You're as damn dumb as a colt.
Telling me that they didn't have a president named Jefferson Davis? Yes, they did. You tell me they didn't have a country called Confederate States of America? Yes, they did. Did they have a constitution?
Of America.
Well, the United States was a different country, pal, because they didn't have black folks tied up and behind a mule someplace. So,
look at gentlemen.
Come on in, Danny. You got your meal half off. You talked me into it. Three quarters off.
Are you so ignorant?
You only got to pay a dollar.
Are you so ignorant that you don't think that people in New York had slaves?
No, they did not.
Well, you're a damn fool.
No, they did not. You can't prove that.
Wait a minute. What are you saying, Danny? They had slaves in New York?
Sure, they did.
Get a load of that, Phil. They had slaves in New York. No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
No, they did not.
Well,
Where's George Washington?
Georgia?
Yeah, Georgia.
Where's George Washington's home place at?
He's from Massachusetts.
Did George Washington own slaves?
No.
George Washington had slaves.
No, he didn't.
George, what is this?
Time for the commercial.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
You see, Phil, this is what happens when your brother's your own daddy. But anyway, come on down to Ted of Beverly Hills.
No, I'm going to tell you something, Cap.
What's that?
If you prepared our food the way you prepared this, prepare what
we
prepared
on
the radio,
we want to put on the radio.
And there ain't no good southern redneck going to eat that.
Yeah, you're bull crap.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced.